All right, the book of Luke chapter 21. Okay, let's see from verse 29. And he told them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it, and know for yourselves that summer is now near. Even so too, when you see these things happening, now these things are the things he has described in the preceding verses. He talked about Jerusalem being surrounded by armies in verse 20. Then 25, he talked about the signs in sun and moon and stars and the whole earth in dismay, you know, that is the nations of the earth, all right, having dismay, perplexity, and all the things that will be happening. He now said to them, let's get back to where we're reading verse 31. He says, so you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on your guard. Please, this is where my emphasis again commences. Verse 34. Be on your guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And for that reason, that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Everybody will experience it. But it was seen that you can prepare for it. Verse 36. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, please, you know, we've been talking about the role that prayer plays in keeping us in the walk of righteousness. So we summarized it and said prayer and personal purification. And that title was chosen so as to make it easy for Israel and Felix to go prepare our materials, all right? But the summary of everything we're discussing is that prayer is important in keeping us in a righteous walk. It's very crucial. Please, I want to emphasize the word grace. It's something I've talked about all the time. Grace is the power of God to help you walk righteously. That's another definition. Add that one to your list of definitions for grace. That is, what I'm trying to say is this. The way God is, the way he is, the way he wants everything to be is this. Is the beginning and the end. This is what God does. He gives you lectures. He teaches you how to answer his questions. Then he sets the questions, expecting you to just do what he has told you. Then he helps you to remember the things he told you. And once you obey him every step on the way, you always succeed. That's what grace is. Are you getting my point? God does not spring surprises. He doesn't. Anything he wants you to do, he tells you about it ahead of time. And I was teaching in Benin, all right? Of course, many of you know I was not around on Saturday. And that's because there was a program that began on Friday on the campus of University of Benin. And I taught Saturday morning, Saturday evening, and Sunday morning. I said something which is very important. First, one brother that was there, he said that that's one thing he heard today that really struck him. And I said that the kings of Israel, now please follow what I want to say very closely. The kings of Israel, they didn't disobey two commandments to fail. They disobeyed only one. I noticed it. That is, all the problems for the kings of Israel was because they disobeyed one simple commandment. And what was that commandment? God told them that anytime you have a king, he will make a copy of the scrolls. You understand? That the copy of the law, he will write it by himself. And then when he finishes writing, he will start reading. And when he finishes reading, he will start reading. And he would do like that all the days of his life, reading one simple book. Hey, I didn't know whether he got that. And he said if he does that, he will be careful to obey all the commands. And that way he will be established, his kingdom will endure. And that was a simple commandment, but they never did it. Even Solomon did not. There's no record he did. Because he told them, you have to write the book yourself. I don't believe there was anywhere Solomon sat down and copied the law. God gave them one simple commandment. Keep that one and all other things shall be added unto you. I told you we're going to talk about walking in the Spirit. Because I'm still meditating about it. It must be a very simple thing. That's how God is. He gives on something so simple, it becomes silly. I don't know what I heard I said. It's so simple, it almost becomes silly. For that reason, you don't do it. Can you imagine? They said, just take a book. I'm reading the book all the days of your life if you want to do well in business. It's not a big book, a small one. You know what happens almost all the time? That book, I've read it before. That's just what we say. I have read that book before. Meanwhile, we don't realize, you know, some very, you know, I said, I'll go over that again in a moment. But I said at the beginning that this idea of just giving God thanks for food, don't get used to it in such a manner that God knows I'm grateful. I don't know whether you heard what I said. Yeah, God knows I'm grateful. I don't even have to say it, you know. Once he sees my heart, he just knows. It's deception. What did I call it? If you are saying like that, because there are some ordinances, I told us before, that when we're talking about different parts of the word of God, all right? I added the last one, I said ordinances. There are things that God said you must do. They are physical. They are real physical things, all right? For example, he expects to participate in the communion. That's one. He said number two, you must always gather where Christians are gathered. Don't stay at home all the time by yourself. There must be a place you go. John G. Lake said, even when he wasn't hearing what they were saying those days, he would go for a meeting in Africa, in South Africa, and they are worshiping a different language which he doesn't speak. He would just sit down there. And by the time he's going, he has been strengthened. What I'm trying to say, sometimes God gives us something that's so simple. I'm just dropping those ones. Very simple things, all right? That they become silly. We get used to it, so we don't even take it serious anymore. But don't let that happen to you. Because those little things it gives us to do are usually the places where the strength to do the big things come from. Now, don't forget what I said. Those little things are usually the doors through which he passes into our lives the strength to do the great ones. Please follow me. So, I was saying, you find out that that's how grace is. God supplies the strength. So, when I was teaching that, I just explained to the people that if every king in Israel had taken time out to do what God said, they would have found it easy. God said to Joshua, if you want to succeed, it's not hard. Go and train for war. Was that what he said? If you are sure, answer me. Now, don't shake your head. I mean, he didn't tell him that. What did they tell him? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt speak to yourself therein day and night. It's amazing. That's the key. We'll talk about when we're talking about walking in the Spirit. That's the key. That key is, like Bishop Oyedepo would say, the master key to everything. That's my own opinion. That is the master key. Somebody takes the word of God and makes it a habit to talk about it all the time. You know, sometimes I ask myself, this amount of time you are spending discussing events and discussing people, politicians, what's going on with Barack Obama, you know, all those kind of things. If you spend that amount of time discussing the word of God, your business will double, your marriage will be happier, your children will be finer. Are you getting my point? Things will move quicker for you. You will have less confusion in life. What am I going to explain? Obeying God is simple. The desire of God actually is that he wants to supply the strength by himself. That's what I'm trying to say in all of these things. God, listen. Let me just say something quickly. If God commands concerning something and it's very difficult to do, rejoice. If God you find something in the scriptures, I like the story I read once about Corrie Ten Boom. Terry Combun. Is that funny? It's Corrie Ten Boom. The story about her was that she was a Jewish girl in a concentration camp during the Second World War. And after the war ended, she was a preacher, used to go around preaching forgiveness. You know, it's easy to preach forgiveness when you have not been seriously offended. But everybody listened to her because she had been seriously offended. She was in the concentration camp. I was telling everybody, forgive, forget, forgive, God is... Then one day she finished preaching, and a man came up to her to thank her for that powerful message. And she recognized the man. Now, if I'm not mixing my stories, all right, apparently the man was one of the guards that beat her sister to death. He didn't know her. He also saw one woman who was preaching. Of course, all of them were like skeletons by the time they were through with them. So now she must have gained some weight. He couldn't recognize anybody. Oh, that your message was speaking in German, I assume, was such a powerful, speaking German. And the woman was looking at him. And he brought out his hand to shake her hand. No, think about it. Do you think she can shake his hand? That was not possible. So she told the Lord simply, this is not possible. That is the idea. Listen to the grace of God. No. And as the man was talking, when she recognized him, he said, no, this is a bad one. This is, I'm adding my own words now, this is serious temptation. Everything you have preached, oh yeah, practice it. So she just told the Lord simply, you know, I can't do this. I can't shake his hand. I'm so sorry. But Lord, you have to do something. That was it. The next thing he knew that her hand went up by itself. Are you getting what I'm saying? And shook that, not how the hand. No, and it's in the scriptures. Ezekiel said, when he said to me, son of man, stand to your feet that I may speak to you. He said, the spirit entered into me and set my hand shaking my enemy. You are getting what I'm explaining? It was the spirit of God that entered into her. And listen, that is what God wants to do. So he gives a commandment. Sometimes, you know, this sexual revolution thing and all this homosexuality that Barack Obama is now the champion of, you understand? You know, when you hear them talk, you know that they don't understand the grace of God. God says, do something. They say, it is not possible. They start giving you scientific reasons why it's not possible. No, when God says, do something, the willingness to obey connects with the power to do. You hear what I said? You hear what I said? The willingness to obey connects you with the power to do. God doesn't command you concerning what you can do. Let me drop it again, you know. Very soon I'll be a marriage specialist. I know the bishop likes that very much. You know, I have been married for a long time now, relative to people like Bishop and Emeka here, you know. Relative to them, I'm very old in marriage. All right? Almost 14 years. I don't try. But before then, I was teaching on marriage. I wrote my first article on how to find a wife about 6 years before I found one. And it was interesting. I was reading like, who wrote this? Banky? What does he know? Actually, when I wrote the article, the first thing I said in it, I said, many of you want to read this. Who are reading this will wonder what qualified me. I quickly referred to scripture. I said, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I said, better obey the word of God. I wrote that article like 6 years before I got married. The Lord is good. Now, I'm bringing out something here. So I just want to explain something. Talking about the power. Listen, in this modern age, where women will go to school, get a BSc, a BA, LLB, MBBS, whatever degree. Some of them will go back, add MSc to it. Some will now take the PhD, put on top of it. Some are chartered accountants, chartered surveyors, chartered, give me something, what are the chartered? Chartered engineer, chartered secretaries, chartered, just chartered. The whole world is chartered. Then the woman will now marry and you now say to her, submit thyself to thy own husband. Wait, it's okay if my husband is my lecturer. Are you getting my point? No, it's very okay. Even when I was in school, he was the one giving the lectures. He had a PhD. And I was a student. I can easily submit. But let's get it. He was not my lecturer. He's my friend. In fact, we're classmates. He failed a few courses that I passed. Then I say, submit yourself to that fellow. Listen, having observed life, my life, other people's lives, the word of God, and things around, I came to the conclusion. Go and tell the Americans and the Europeans who are trying to legalize gay marriage that marriage is not an accident. Somebody very smart created it. And no, really, because that thing can never work outside the order of God. What am I going to bring out from there to illustrate? When he said, submit yourself to your own husband, believe me, he expects to look up and say, give me the grace to do it. And he has the grace ready for everybody who will say, yes, amen. Be it unto me according to thy word. But you know what most people do? You don't understand. You don't know what you're talking about. You didn't marry my husband. Is it for you like this now? Because your husband is like this. If you married my husband, you will understand. He never thinks about anything until the last moment. I am the one that does all the thinking. Better tell my husband to submit himself unto his own wife. Because, let me tell you something. If you want to counsel people, don't be angry with that woman. What she's telling you is, is real to her. She will tell you, look, 2 years ago, we're supposed to go for so thing. I told him 3 weeks before, I reminded him that fuel may be scarce. NNPC is giving warning strike. You know? Let him buy fuel now. He said, I shouldn't worry. The day before, he went out, spent all night to look for fuel. Came back in the house 4 a.m. in the morning. We still did not get fuel. That's how we did not go. If it was 3 years ago, I would say, thank God he has changed. Last week. Listen, that's her reality. Oh, I don't know whether you're getting my point. Don't come and preach one, you wicked woman. You don't. No. You have to show a lot of compassion. What I'm going to say, it's her. Look, the thing is real. It's like fire is burning. You say the word of God says, walk through that fire. So the Bible does not say a wise man sees danger ahead and hides himself. You are telling. No, really. But the fact is this. If the woman would have just simply said, amen, because it is the word of God, God will infuse the humility, the ability to submit into her soul. And suddenly that same, oh God, you must understand that this marriage thing is interesting. You don't only control what's happening to you, you are affecting to a very great degree what's happening to that person. By her attitude, she will infuse the spirit of wisdom into that man. Not because she's come, okay, now, you know what some people do? Okay, they say I should submit to, so please start doing what you're supposed to do to make it easy for me. I'm not remembering the issue of grace. How you tap into grace with God is to say amen. If he says, all of you, you shall walk through this road. And you look at the road, fire is burning. You don't call his attention and say, Lord, can't you see there's fire there? That's called doubt and disobedience. If he says, all of you, you shall walk through this road, you know what you say? Amen. One or two things will happen. Sometimes when you finish saying that amen, the very blast of amen pours water on the road, fire dies, the place becomes cool, and you walk across. Sometimes you finish saying amen, suddenly all of you are and she said in something supernatural, so that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. For the, do you get my point? But that amen is critical to tap into grace. What I'm saying all of this is grace. Grace is when God gives a commandment. He gives you the power to obey it. That's what grace is. And I want people to understand it. In life, what happens is that when you listen to those who don't understand faith, you want to explain to them how God says we should live. And listen, you are not real. They can't understand what you are saying. It does not make sense. And the reason why they can't see it is because they have not understood the path that is called grace. I told you before, I used to wonder, you know, like they said, this is our country now. You don't realize how good it is because you are comparing to some place that are physically better. But it's a very comfortable place. Now, if they tell you to leave where you are and go to a deep jungle, it's not an easy thing. Now, they're not telling the stories of people like David Livingstone that left the comfort of their homes and came to preach in Africa. The day he arrived, the lion attacked him, almost ripped one arm from the elbow, and that arm was paralyzed the rest of his life. He didn't go back. And this man used to travel for months to get to their mission venue. No, if you are going for mission in Europe now, you call us from airport, guys, we're about to board. Okay, have a safe flight. Then we'll get a text from you, 8 hours later, we have arrived. 8 hours later. Those days, one, the journey was 2 months. then the letter you will get that they arrived goes by the boat that takes 2 months to get back. If it's a place like US, 3 months. So if your husband left for mission in Africa, you won't know whether he's dead or alive for the next 6 months. I don't know whether you get my point. You won't know. Because it takes him 3 months to get there, then write you a letter and send back. You get it 3 months after. 6 months later is when you will finally get news from them. So, I mean, I used to imagine it that Aisha could have saved God that season. And I'd be thanking God, Lord, thank you very much for sparing me that season of saving you. This one is good. Now, if we travel, but in fact, thank God for WhatsApp, wherever you are chatting away with your spouse. Now, but I now realized something a few years ago. As much as we are thankful to God for everything, some of those men were not more dedicated than you today. Did you hear what I said? Yes. Forget the fact that we are singing their praises as if they were one kind of supernatural being that came from Mars. The fact that many of them were not more dedicated than you. The difference is a kind of grace that God poured upon them, which you don't need now. So the absence of that grace in your life makes you wonder how men then coped with it. God hasn't given me the grace to travel away from my wife. 3 months later, she hasn't heard from me. I've not heard from her. I don't have that grace. If you travel within 24 hours, I must know where you are. Is your phone not working? What happened to your phone? So the grace that those men had, you don't have it today simply because the need is not there. I said to us some time ago, I said, don't think the stories of the Bible were written so that you will be looking at people with envy as if only I could do that or that those men were great men. No, they were written to let you know ordinary people with the power of God working in them can do great things. So I'm saying to you, if they drag you looking at me this evening, if they drag you before the furnace of Nebuchadnezzar, you too won't bow. I'm not joking about it. You will not bow. It's not a joke. Look at Daniel. Ha, my great man of faith. Hey. If not me, I will just bow. I will be standing on my inside, though, but on the outside, I will not bow. Tell you the truth, you won't bow too. You still will not bow. Why? Because Daniel didn't stand. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel didn't still do what he did that took by the lion's den now. And the other guys, not because they were strong. It's simply because the grace was poured upon them. And I'm saying to you also, you, if need be, if you have real dedication for God, when that time comes, he will pour grace on you also. We admire Daniel. We admire Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We admire all of them. But we are saying that we recognize that it was not them. It was the grace of God working in them. And that same grace is available till today. It's available for you. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And it's available for me.
Amen.
It is available. What am I going to emphasize? The fact that God does not expect us to walk above sin, walk in obedience to his word, his precepts by our own strength. No, he doesn't expect it. He does not expect it. He does not expect it. The man, the woman who fails are those people that decide to use their own power and not learn the method of tapping into God's power. Let me get back to what I'm trying to explain. Prayer and personal purification we're talking about. I'm emphasizing that one of the things, let me quickly say it this way. Did I say we should open somewhere? Have we read it? Yes, we read it. You see what he said there? Take heed. Be careful. That is, if you take heed to yourselves, it was saying there. Please, let me quickly say it before we refer to it. I said something last time. Let me say it again. I realized that these days people use prayers for things that prayer wasn't meant for. And that's why I said last time there's an epidemic of prayer. People emphasize so much on praying against things. In fact, do you know, we pray more than is commanded in scriptures concerning our needs. Let me say this. I pray to be very clear. God doesn't expect to hear anything about your problems more than once. I don't know what I hear what I said. If you heard me say amen.
Amen.
Oh God, you know I need money. He expects to hear that how many times? How many times?
Once.
How many times?
Once.
In fact, he will prefer if he never heard about it from your mouth. So two levels of faith are accepted. One, you say it, but once. Anything beyond that is not accepted. Another level of faith is that you don't even remember to see anything about it. Because he said, seek first the kingdom of God. That is, prayers must be focused on seeking the kingdom of God. And all other things will be added. So if something is a burden on my soul, all right? So I cast that burden upon the Lord. It comes as a burden to my soul. So I throw it on him once. What if the thing comes back to mind again? That's what I'm trying to explain. The prayer is actually more on purifying myself from worry than reminding God about he hasn't done that, you know. I don't know whether you're hearing what I'm saying. He said, but if it keeps coming back to mind, then the next prayers must be on ensuring I don't worry about it. So that's why prayers like that go as a form of thanksgiving of the fact, Lord, I thank you. Because that is not a problem. I refuse to think about it. I refuse to think about it. It has been solved in the name of Jesus. I have cast my burden upon the Lord. It's not like, God, I bet let's talk. No, yesterday I said that. Did I say not here that time? May I come just quick? Let's go by it again. I was explaining to you that Wahala Day. And this is the exact amount that is needed. Did you hear when I said it last time? Then the following day, we have come again. 21 days. That was what it took Daniel to get that answer. You get my point? So we shall pray on this matter for 21 days. I'm saying to you this evening, this is a teaching for this evening, that if any prayer is said again about that matter, it should be a prayer that purifies you from worry. Because in Daniel's case, we know the very first day he was heard. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. The very first day he was heard, God does not expect us, all right, to now sit down on our problems and it becomes the prayer topic every day. I'm talking about how people misuse it. That's one thing you see Christians gather and pray about their needs day in, day out. They are not using their prayers to purify. Now listen, that's very important. That's my talking about this series. They are not purifying their walk with God by that prayer. And that is the main thing they should have been praying about. Please follow me. That is, another way people, let me quickly add this one also. I mentioned last time. Another way people in today's Christianity waste prayer time and prayer resources is that they focus on enemies that are not there. And even if the enemies were there, they are not supposed to be focused on. If you see what I'm trying to say, most of those prayers are focused on things there, other people, my problems. Instead of any prayer that has to do with them personally, that is, instead of praying about my needs, my problems, I should be praying about my heart. And that's what I'm trying to bring out. How do I keep myself walking in a manner that is pleasing to God all the time? Because the Bible says there is no want for those who fear God. So part of the way by which you keep yourself in the fear of God is through prayer. I'm not going to bring out an issue here. That prayer is used to tap into that grace. Let's go back here. Luke chapter 21. I was saying that God, anything he says we should do in life, he wants to pour the grace into us to do it. And he said in verse 34, be on guard or take heed to yourselves, that your hearts may not be weighted down. Verse 34, now chapter 21, Luke. With dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place. What I'm going to explain here, that is, the praying is the way by which a man, a woman keeps alert. I said something last time, that this world can be tempting. All right? People oftentimes, they don't realize, all right, that temptations in life is not just about temptation to what I call sin. Are you getting my point? It's not just temptation to sin. In that sense, moral, commit a sin. But a lot of temptations in life are temptations that dampen, that's a good word, they dampen your spiritual sensitivity. They dampen your determination. And they are real temptations. I said something last time that I was in a meeting in my CMD's office, and he said something that struck a serious chord in me. Before that, I didn't really think about it like that, but after he said it, the thing has been with me. I have not forgotten. He said that it was encouraging everybody, because we're heads of departments gathered in the meeting and some consultants with external people that came to accredit our departments. They were talking about the problems that the departments have that should be corrected. And the CMD was pointing out that a lot of us sitting down there, we had the powers to correct them. And it was right. Many of us did not realize how much we had. And the meeting was good. In fact, one of the other heads of department said that this is the best meeting he's ever had in that hospital. All right? Now, so he did not realize the amount of powers he had. Are you getting my point? But there was another problem people like me had, even though I knew I had those powers, is that of being discouraged after a while. There was something I wanted to do as at this month. I've been on it for over 18 months. I went back to square one just a few weeks ago. So my CMD said something. He said that a lot of people, that was what really struck something with me, that they meet a lot of resistance, they get tired, and they give up. As I'm going to explain, he said, please, don't give up. Just keep trying. And in my department since then, we've made a lot of advances. And when people complain, maybe it's like, chief, we need to do this. I said to them, how do you eat an elephant? Those who have heard me answer, they say, one bite at a time. That what we have to eat here is an elephant. Let's be making advances every day. Let's take one bite at a time. And that came to my mind because my CMD said, please, don't give up. What's the lesson I'm bringing from there? One of the temptations of life, do you understand, is that you get discouraged and you give up in doing that which is good. Listen, life can be tempting. The temptations are not only just to sin, the way we look at sin, all right? But they can also be to dampen our spiritual sensitivity. Let me give an example. If you see what's going on in the U.S. right now, all this gay thing and all homosexuality and all of that, one of the things that's happening is that what that happened and is happening is that over a long period, a lot of Christians have been worn out. When I say worn out, I'm like, Satan wears them out. You lose today. After a while, you give up entirely. And that's precisely what Satan wants. He wants people to give up. What he's trying to do is to paint to all the young people there that there's nothing wrong with being a homosexual. So after a while, even in churches, they start toning down their messages. All right? What's happening is the temptations of life, people are beginning to give up. And that's precisely what Satan wants. And that's what happens in our lives also a lot of times. We give up. But the message I'm bringing out this evening is simple. That the strength not to give up is not by determination. I shall not give up. No. Jesus was telling these people. Because what happens is that all the cares of the world, he said, be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, so that day comes on you suddenly like a trap. That is, the people are no longer spiritually sensitive. So he said, what is the medicine that will prevent that? He said, keep on the alert, praying in order that you may have strength. Now, please, I'm back to the main thing I'm trying to explain. Anytime it appears like you should give up, he said, the strength not to give up comes from where? Somebody asked me a few days ago, said, sir, I don't know how to pray. I replied him, I said, say it anyway, anyhow, anytime, in the name of Jesus. I said, that's all. Said that this is not now I want to pray. Father, you have said in thy word that thy word cannot fail. Thy word said we shall not give up. And the giving up is about to come upon us now. So we tabernacle in thy presence trying to overcome. No. It's like, God, help me. I don't tire. But I'm not supposed to tire. I don't know whether I get my point. I said that in Pidgin to emphasize that God speaks any language. You can kneel down. You can stand up. You can lie down. And guess what? You can even stand upside down. Whichever way. You know, there are times you are so tired. Your head is on the floor. Your torso is hanging inclined. Your feet are on the bed. You know, that kind of thing. even in that position, he hears. And you say to him simply, Lord, I am tired. This is the fourth time. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Please listen to this. This is the fourth time I have applied to this tax office. Let's take as an example. To get me my documents. This is the fourth time I have applied for this particular job, which I know is mine. I can do it. Now remember, God doesn't want to hear anything about your problems more than once. Can you remember that? How many times?
Once.
So you have talked about it before. But what are you praying about now? You're about to get discouraged. You're about to get tired. So you, from there, say, Lord, I don't want to get tired. Give me the strength not to get tired. Listen, there are times they've told you, maybe you've heard teaching, people talk about generational curses, witches, wizards. Then you hear the word of God that says that is not your portion, except that there's one problem that has not gone away. And that was what the generational people were using to harass you. That's a generational problem. Listen, experiences can never prove them right. Only the word of God decides what is right and what is wrong. Are you getting my point? But there are times, that's what I'm saying, the flesh is tempted to say, maybe I need the deliverance. Don't go and hide. Close the doors. Let me go and do it in secret. No. It is to lie down there and simply say, Lord, this is the truth I have heard. From the scriptures, I believe it. I was listening to the Corey Blake today. Just, in fact, if you heard him say some things, you think that maybe me, he and I discussed. I thought it was only Nigeria that had this ancestral curse problem. I didn't know Americans still had it. If you see him coming against the thing seriously, that what are you talking about ancestors? Your ancestry can only be traced back one step to Jesus Christ. So you've heard things like that. Say, Lord, this is what I have heard. And I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. All things have passed away. But because of the issues I've had, my heart wants to. Therefore, I am praying right. Are you getting my point? Jesus came to a man and said, if you can believe, he said, Lord, help my unbelief. It's a valid prayer point. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. I hope you are following what I'm saying. I am saying to you that instead of spending all the time, all the witches that said, I will not prosper, the Holy Ghost fire, it's a waste of time. If you are tempted to think somebody is saying that you shouldn't prosper, you lie down there and say, Lord, I have heard the word of God, and it has said to me that if God blesses me, nobody can stop me from being blessed. All this preaching I'm hearing, all these temptations are trying to prove to me that one week somewhere is saying I shouldn't prosper, but I refuse to believe it. My heart is being drawn there, but Lord, give me the strength never to deny the truth that I know. That's what prayer is about, though. I hope you're getting my point. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, people get discouraged. You have said so, you've declared something, you get there, you are not seeing the result you thought you would have. It is not time to change your mind. What Satan is trying to do, listen to me, is to wear you out. And I'm saying to us again that God did not leave us without help. As I'm talking about prayer and personal purification, people spend all the time on enemies. No. You should spend most of the time praying about yourself. And when I say pray about yourself, I don't mean praying about your problem. Your heart's response to matters. I discussed something in here some time ago. Let me quickly. I talked about praying yourself out of a bad habit. Praying your way out of a bad habit. How did I title it? Something like that. It's one of our prayer collections. Look for it and listen to it. Listen. Over the weekend when I was not around, the last day I spoke on the habits of greatness, because I was talking about the path of life, all right? Understanding true greatness. So the last day I spoke on what I call the habits of greatness. Now, I want to bring up something that I think we have discussed before, right? That life, what you are, is a product of your habits, your ways, things you do every day. The way I illustrated is that people talk about weight. Weight, you can't just get up one day, lose weight in 1 week. The weight you gained in 1, 2, 3, 4 years. Or the losing in 3 weeks. It doesn't work. So I tell people, say, how do I control my weight? I say, simple. Just change your habit. Look for something, all right? In your habit, you can just change. That's all. Maybe you have a car. Everywhere you drive, tell yourself, anything that's not more than 200 meters, henceforth, I trek. It's a new habit. When they give me food, normally they lace it with those giant sizes of beef. Four. Say, I'm not growing again. I'm an adult. So one, from now on. It's just a new habit. Just what? A new habit. Now what I'm going to bring out here, all right? That's how life is. I'm going to connect something. So whatever you are doing in life is actually forming your destiny. And God, even though he has a destiny plan for you, if you have a habit that is not in conformity with the destiny he has planned, that habit has to go. Let me just give a practical example. If Sarah and Abraham were not hospitable people, Isaac ain't coming anywhere. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? If Abraham and Isaac were not hospitable people, Isaac wasn't coming anywhere. Say, but God promised. Listen. There's an article I've been trying to write for some time. I don't know what's been keeping me. I should write it, but let me just share it briefly. Anytime God gives you a vision, anytime God gives you a promise, a lot of times what he's saying to you that this is where you are going, prepare to go there. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is, what do I mean by prepare to go there? Dress up, learn the way. That's what he said. What I mean is that Paul said it like it's very simple. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the latter part into chapter 7, verse 1. He says, seeing that we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That is, these promises will come to pass when we will have perfected holiness in the fear of the Lord. Seeing that we have what? These promises. Let us cleanse ourselves, purify ourselves. How do we purify ourselves? That's what I'm talking about. Let us purify ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. That is, before we can get to certain places, God is good. And that's why, look, that's the difference. One of the things I taught in that program. That's the difference between Satan and God. God gives you a promise, and I start taking you through the path. It's called the gates of God. Go and read Psalm 118 and Matthew chapter 7. There's the gates of God, called the narrow gate in Matthew chapter 7 by the word of Jesus Christ. But by Psalm 118, David calls the gates of the Lord or the gates of righteousness. God starts walking you through life so as to go through that narrow gate, all right, narrow path, through those gates of righteousness. It takes time. So it takes him time to build Abraham to receive Isaac. You could have done this first day. Abraham, thou shalt have a son. And Abraham just turned like this. Boom! Sarah's stomach will just be growing as she's looking. You'll be looking. Sarah's stomach will be going. Boom! And then she'll just deliver. Boom! 2 weeks after. I know what have happened. 2 years later, Isaac will have died and would not have woken up. If Sarah, like, let her deliver 10,000 Isaacs, they will have all died. If they came before 25 years. Why? Because until that 25 years, those 25 years were complete. They did not have the strength to receive an Isaac that will stay. So what God does is to start taking them, through. Teaching them things. I've talked about it before. So this is how it goes. So God gives a promise. He says, better start learning the ways. Now, when I say the way, let me give an example now. God gives a promise, let's give as a practical example, of abundant prosperity. So now it means go to business school. No, that's not what I mean by the ways. They are spiritual lessons. In Abraham's case, the man had to be hospitable. He had to be generous. How do I know? Because the day he received strangers, not knowing they were angels, that was the day the word came. By this time next year, your wife will have a child. That is, if he was doing like this, say, nothing concerns me, I don't want police trouble. And those men passed. They will go ahead, smoke Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham will look and say, oh, what a pity. What a calamity. But he'll be there waiting. He's not going to die. Sarah is not going to die. But they will wait until God wants to go and destroy another place. They will plant Abraham on the way again. Then the angels will come again at night. waiting that all the lessons you have taught you on being hospitable, what are you doing with it? What am I going to explain? That's what prayer does when I'm talking about prayer and habits. If you have a, listen, don't brag on a bad thing. If not bad thing, if it's a bad thing, pray yourself out of it. Did you hear what I said? Listen, you know, that's the way I am. There's nobody that's the way he is if it's a bad thing. You know my mouth don't get closed. Once I hear something, I must tell everybody. He says, it's true. The man is very liberal. He just has an open spirit. He does not hide anything inside himself. He cannot keep a secret. I'll be bragging about it. I know it's natural to him, but it's a bad habit. What do I call it? And listen, habits are like medicine, drug, the thing they push. It pushes people. And as I was talking about prayer, you can use prayer to break it. Every fine thing that comes, I have to buy mine, but I have to buy one. It's a bad habit. If you can't look at something and just say, this is very nice, but it's not my own, it's a bad habit. Not sleeping on time is a bad habit. Some habits are not in keeping with long life and prosperity. Some habits are not in keeping. Going to bed late and waking up very early, they are bad habits. What did I call them? They're not, he's a diligent man. No, he's working against the word of God. You know, the world can help you glamorize bad things. Like I was saying the other day, Kim Kardashian got pregnant out of wedlock, and all of us must read about it. When people were saying she would have hidden in the corner until she delivers and her stomach goes back to normal, and we must not know. But she's pregnant out of adultery and fornication, and the whole world is... They even came to advertise the stomach in Nigeria. I almost swear for this day, that time. You should know. No, really, just by the way. You know, I have placed a curse in Jesus' name on Big Brother Africa. May the program crumble. Amen. May they lose money. Amen. May DSTV regret the day they beamed it over Nigeria. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? We shouldn't let our young people think some things are normal. Honestly, as a preacher, if Kim Kardashian had come to me and they were filming us, I'd have said, oh girl, you're fornicating, man, you're pregnant. Sound like a joke, but I'll make it clear, you're married to this guy. No, it doesn't concern me about him or her. You understand my point? What matters to me is the young people who are watching, so that they will know that this is not the life. I'm going to explain something. We must be careful, because the world tries to make glamour, are you getting my point, out of a bad habit. Some of them look good. The man doesn't sleep. He's always walking. It's evil. It's iniquity. How do I know? The scriptures say it is vain to rise up early and to go to bed late. That's what the Bible says. So no matter how nice it looks, it's a bad habit. There are students who read and read and read. They're always reading. They won't sleep. You see them, their eyes are red. They drink coffee, take aspirin. Not seen it before. Sorry, I withdraw another aspirin. Fensic. I don't know, it's not common anymore. This is when I was in school. They used to use Fensic to keep awake. Fensic was a combination of aspirin and caffeine. Like now you have Panadol Extra. Panadol Extra is a combination of paracetamol and caffeine. When I was in school, one of my neighbors, a law student, we used to call him Polo. The boy would drink coffee and pop 2 tablets of Fensic. If you have a student that studies that hard, tell him it's a bad habit. What did I call it? What did I call it? A bad habit. By strength shall no man prevail. Whatever be the bad habit you have, is going to change you. That's what I'm trying to make. All right? Concerning the divine destiny that God planned for you. You will never get to the place God ordained for you to get to if you maintain that habit. And I dare to say to you, the degree of realization of your divine destiny is the extent, it starts with the extent to which you shave yourself off of all these fleshly things. But what is my message? It's not by your own strength. It's not by your own strength. It is by identifying those things one by one and praying about them. Please go and get that message. I said, praying yourself out of a bad character. I found that one of the major reasons people don't change is when they have excuses that make sense for what they are doing. No, I know it's not good, but you know the kind of place you are living in, you have to be tough, and you are talking about a bad habit. The one that used to give us an example, as a lady I knew once, anytime you tell her something, she reminds her, you know, and that's what Oyinbo men have done, that is, you study psychiatry abroad, if I sociology there, everything is about abuse. I was abused as a child. That's how I'm shooting people now. You don't see what goes on. Everything is abuse. Nobody bears responsibilities for anything anymore. That's why I wrote the book, Choices, Key to Destiny. That your past may have affected your life, and that is true. It does. Where you are coming from affects you. But, up to a point, a day comes in which God says, now, it's you and me. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That woman caught in the act of adultery. Jesus was saying, in effect, she was an adulteress because of her society. And many young boys and girls today, that's what they are, because of the society. But that excuse is just for a while. A day comes, God says, now, they wanted to stone you now. I didn't let them stone you. So, after now, what's going to happen? Go and sin no more. You know what it means? Next time they catch you, you have met me, I have given you a spirit, because if you said amen, the ability to sin will disappear. Any sin after that will be a conscious and deliberate effort of disobedience. If they catch you after now, they stone you, you're on your own. Now, we have excuses. We can go around and be making excuses. And which is what you see. You see them in those so-called wise countries, not knowing they are foolish. Everything is an excuse. You know, what happened? This girl shot somebody. How old is she? She's 32, a young woman. Why did she shoot him? Because when she was 9, her uncle raped her. Okay? At 14, she was gang raped in school. Uh-huh. At 32, she's shooting people. And it's an accepted excuse. You know the problem with such things? Afterwards, other people will now come up. I say, what happened? Prisca was freed because she was abused as a young girl. Ah, me too, I have been abused. So right now, my head must not correct again. So the girl buys a jackknife and goes around. The first guy that says, hey, okay, have a... knifes the guy in the chest. Don't you know I was abused? Gets the gun. Goes to her stepfather's house. I mean, her mother is divorced. Staying with another, married another man now. I said, the daddy didn't slap me. He did. Pia, pia. The man is dead. What happened? I was abused. So you have a society of, I've been abused, I've been abused. Anything I do is not my fault, though. It's their fault. Where are they? Those who abused me. And for that reason, people don't break bad habits, even though God makes the power available all the time. That is why I like people like Joyce Meyer. God placed her there so that if you were abused, they will measure your abuse. They measure it to her own. You will shut up. There are very few ladies on earth that has been abused as Joyce Meyer was. And she's not shooting people. She's not sleeping around. She has a very stable marriage now. She has grandchildren. She's a minister of the gospel. The day I heard her share the testimony, I was watching her on TV. Every woman in the house was weeping. Apart from her. She's telling the story. She was just talking. She was just talking. When she finished, she just did her like this. And look at me today. You know what she was saying? There's no excuse left. The God that did this for me can do more for you. Nobody goes to Joyce Meyer's meeting and come back there and start shooting people. Well, what excuse will you give? Even if the jury says to you, not guilty, God will say to you, guilty. Where are you coming from? Joyce Meyer's meeting. I mean, her own was bad. On the key of her abusers was her father, number one. Not a stranger, not an uncle alone. The uncles were plenty. By the time I still remember that she just did her like this. But look at me today. That is, what are you talking about? Who has abused you? What have they done to you that more was not done to me? What I'm going to say, when people start making excuses, they make excuses for everything that they, and that is the very reason why they will never enter into the destiny that God planned for them. Well, don't forget our message. It is not about the problem. It is about the solution that God has brought. He said, if I would just acknowledge my iniquity, forget the stories of how, who gave birth to who, when, why, what happened, who sinned, that this one should be born blind. Forget all of those things. I acknowledge that no matter where it began from, this is my problem. My father who started it is dead. His grandfather who started it before his own father is dead. They've all left the problem with me, which means it is now my problem. So I have to solve it. I'm not pointing at anybody. I bring it, it is mine. And I bring it to the Lord and say to him simply, this is my problem. This is my bad habit. This is the reason why I will not enter into destiny. This is the thing that will obstruct me, all right, from becoming the man, the woman that God created me to be. Lord, help me with it. He said, if you acknowledge like that, then we solve the problem. It is not, look, thank God for therapy, thankful for training. God actually changes people from inside. And the beautiful thing about as Christians, we have been changed. All those prayers are just to allow the thing inside us, you understand my point, to rise up and manifest. That's all. That's what I mean by prayer and personal purification. These are the things we do with problems. So. That's it. That's what we do with prayer. I wanted to say, sorry. These are the things we do with prayer. Not attacking everybody and every other issue around. If we are going to attract any other issue in life, it must be a matter of intercession. We talked about that the other day. The matter of how to intercede. We say it's warfare. So we look at our nation, we keep on fighting. When we want to get discouraged, like I was talking about again today, we turn the discouragement to a prayer point. I mean, you can imagine what I'm saying. Maybe you have prayed and prophesied. I was listening to one message I preached here a few days ago. We prophesied heavily about PHCN. Had they with double capacity in 24 months and everything. Like I said, they heard the prayer. So they shut down one third of the current process, power generation capacity. Light went off in my house. For this, bomb petrol all the time. That's the thing. I said, light, you won't discourage me. In fact, if you annoy me further, I will supercharge the prophecy. She was doubling, I said before. We will increase it to triple. If you shut the whole thing down, we say, okay, now we are going to increase it tenfold. Because it's war. It's war. We're not trying to make sense. We're trying to command things to be. It's war. So sometimes I don't want to be discouraged. We take that discouragement as a matter of prayer. I say, no, Lord, look at discouragement. No. In the name of Jesus, I cast off discouragement. Now, that's what you need to wake up at night to pray about. As for the witches flying, I've told you, there's no space up there. And then I say, people will laugh. I actually mean it too. There's no space. No, wait, come. Do you know how many planes go over your head? Anyone you see is a local flight. I hope you know that. Any plane you see, like this, it's a local flight. The real, those ones that are flying at 20,000 feet, 80,000 feet, you really can't see, you don't see them really. They are very, very, you don't hear the others on here. They are the ones landing and taking off. But does it concern you? I don't know where I get my point. All those many international flights zoom past Enugu daily. You don't know. You are not the only one here. They are the ones landing here. Oh man, they say the witches that are flying up and down. How is it your problem? They are leaving one destruction zone to their judgment zone. How is it your problem? Fly. Just like an international flight. In fact, it's there. As a bird that flies without landing, so is a curse that has no curse. What is my problem with the witches that fly? They can't land. And the one that wants to land near my house, will I pray about it? Not really. I just know he has a death wish. He won't die. If he lets us know on time, we may organize burial. I'm not going to pray. No, which is landing here? Land first. Abba, land. 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 Then you will never take off again. What am I trying to explain? Let's not get bothered. You know, that's what occupies people these days. So let's not get preoccupied with things that don't affect our destiny. If you stay up awake, binding witches, binding demons, listen, let me tell you a few facts. You won't get healed. You won't become richer. You won't live longer. You won't see clearer. Nothing's going to be better for you, even if you like succeed in binding all the witches and all the demons. You know why? They were never your problem. I assume Nigeria now says now, oh no, I now decide that no international flight is crossing above Enugu. And I assume I have the power. How has that made me richer? Has it affected my ministry? But we're discussing things that determine whether you go far in life or you won't. We're discussing things that will determine whether the will of God concerning your life will be done, it won't be done, or it won't be done. Listen, I said it before, no matter how much you believe and confess, if something is wrong, the only thing God can do for you is to correct it. Listen, somebody who's always fearful, are you getting my point? Worried, can't live long, no matter how much God loves the person. So if God loves that fellow so much and he wants very little, he will send you plenty of correction concerning fear and worry. And listen, unless you learn it, you will still die. Despite the fact that God doesn't want you to die. The other day, one of my colleagues was in the office. He told me, he came to report another one to me. He said, look at what this guy is saying. I said, his problem is that he's afraid. He's paranoid. I said, you can't live long on this earth like that. It's not possible. Something will just happen, you just die. So if God doesn't want that to happen to you, what he does is to send you a word. And this is the thing. Let me just say this and I close. All right? When the word comes, listen to this. When the word of God comes, usually it's a word of correction. Listen to this. You know, I told you before, God does not judge people for mistakes. You know that. He is not angry. So, go and kill the Amalekites. You get there, you don't kill them, you spare some of them alive. God does not kill for that. You know what he kills for? Samuel now comes and says, Saul, why have you not done what the Lord said you should do? Say, Samuel, I have done everything the Lord said I should do. Say, Samuel, hey, Saul, it is me talking to me, Samuel. He said, prophet, you said the Lord your God told you to tell me to go and do this. And I have done everything. He said, what about the man that's going on in the backyard? He said, that one, what's a few goats amongst friends? The man brought it to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Someone was confused. That wait. You agree there are goats? Yes. What are they doing here? Look, goats are always a good sacrifice, but the Lord said, kill everything. Samuel, a few goats doesn't mean you didn't obey God. Then Samuel now turned and said, because you have rejected the word of God. Listen, it wasn't the first word, it was the second word. The word of correction. That's what I'm telling you. I say it all the time. In life, you've made mistakes, so? Everybody makes mistakes. The one that everybody does not do, that God doesn't accept, is that when you have done it wrong, and we have now said to you that it is wrong, you now sit there and start explaining why, even though it is wrong, there's nothing wrong with it. That is the one that brings down judgment. That is the one that brings down judgment. So as to prevent that judgment, listen to this. A lot of times the word of God comes because of the momentum of life. You know what I call momentum of life? I mean, you are going in one direction. You have spent money. You have spent willpower. You have spent goodwill. People around you are pushing you. They are going on with you. God now says, turn. It's not easy. What did I say? It's not easy. Let's leave it there. It's not easy. And let me ask you, do you think God knows it's not easy? Do you think he's aware that it's not easy? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think God wants you to do that which you can't do? With your own strength? No. So anytime, I said at the beginning, it's a very good way to close it. Anytime God sends a word like that, that means he's already packaged his strength to obey it, even though it's not easy. And I can assure you of one thing. This is a real thing. I've had experiences like that. You know what works? In fact, I think it's a very nice way to summarize this message. You know what works? Take that word. Go and kneel down and say to the Lord, no, he said, take it to yourselves. Do that praying. Pray like this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. God does not, let me say to you, expect that by your strength, you will obey that. No. He knows it's hard. He's very aware. What he's just saying is this. What are you going to do with the word? And that's why the word comes. The word is the way by which you tap grace into your life. It's like, this is what prayer does. I said, Christian, this is how you pray all the time. You now get on your knees. Let's get back to that simple story at the beginning. The woman with all her enlightenment. You are the most difficult. Now, women, I'm saying this for two reasons. So, let me just say this. One, for men. And for women who are involved to learn it. The most difficult women. Now, I don't mean it as brothers. When you say, come, are you like that? Are they wrong? No. What I mean is that you have to show compassion. You have to pray. And if you're a woman like that, you also have to pray for yourself. The most difficult wives, apart from those who are genetically difficult. Are you getting my point? Are the women who have had to make many decisions by themselves in their lives. They are successful business people. They've done well. They have done well without you. What the hell is your problem? I don't know what I get what I'm saying. When you marry all these small girls who are just leaving university, they don't know anything. They will listen to you. They never had to work. You know, I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You never had to take care of your younger ones. And you see a woman that has taken care of 5 younger ones and all of them are in university now. You now marry her. You yourself have to pray. Not for yourself. Is you have to love somebody now. This is your life. Won't you love somebody? You have to show patience and kindness. It's not a bad thing. You must understand. It's not a bad thing. It's just what? Out of experience. I once started the other day. My wife was not talking about. She was testifying that, she had to tell God, say, wait. This husband deal, thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. But what's going on here? I'm used to making budgetary allocations and spending it the way I saw fit. Then one Adam now comes and says, that's not wise. It has been wise for the last 20 years. What's your problem? You see what I'm saying? It's not that like they are evil people. You know, that when you are used to being in charge, it is real dying to self to let Bobo be in charge. But believe me, it's still worth it. What did I say? This thing is a matter, it's spiritual wisdom. That guy is anointed. That husband is an anointing. Now, what I'm going to say? So when I get to that position,
And I'm going, I don't go and say, no, I won't agree. Doesn't make sense. That is one side. No, leave that one. Once we see that the flesh says, I won't agree, doesn't make sense. But the commandment says, submit thyself unto thy husband. Remember that one I was saying? Momentum. Everybody is saying that, now you go be governor. They have spent money. You are talking money. 200 million naira has gone down into promoting your gubernatorial election. 200 million has gone down into making you governor. And one day, through one fantastic word, God speaks to you. Say, that gubernatorial position is not yours. I don't even want you to campaign any further. You are going to go for the next PDP election, caucus meeting, and suddenly walk out. Nobody is putting you under pressure. You think it's easy? Men have spent 200 million naira. That's what I mean by the momentum, pressure. But again, let me get back to what I'm saying. What God is saying, just take my word. Don't try and obey my word. Just make sure you believe it. Make sure you say, this is the word of God. Then take that word in prayer. Kneel over that word. Say, thy will be done. Not as I will, but as you will. Lord, the strength to do it in the name of Jesus. It has to be done, but you know I can't do it. I don't have the strength in myself. I mean, you know how smart I have been. I have held a business that's worth 100 million before marrying this guy. You say I should submit to him. That is the word of God. I believe it. But what do I do now? Because my flesh doesn't say, no, thy will be done. Go and see, that's how Jesus did it in the garden. He knelt down there until doing it was natural. He knelt down there and continued to say that thy will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He kept on saying that, you know, there are many ways by which God does things. One day you can just come out. And suddenly somebody in the PDP meeting just said, look, what local government is it from again? So they will remember. But that is not in keeping with rotation. Zoning. So thank you. Someone say, but I say, okay, look, please, you just put up your hand. I do not want there to be any animosity in the house. I voluntarily step down. Then they not start telling, that guy is a humble and honorable man. They don't know that God said to you ahead of time, step down. Are you getting my point? Suddenly you come out. Next time your husband talks, wisdom is dropping from his mouth like this, dripping on the floor. It's God that changed your perception. And God gave him wisdom to speak. Why? Because you took that word and used that word to pray. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Yes, that's what I mean by prayer and personal purification. We don't spend our prayer energy wasting it on people who don't like us. All my enemies that said I will not succeed, they will not succeed. Eh? So, two people don't succeed. What is it? Everybody's failing. That's what they call Polish capitalism. You know, have you heard of Polish capitalism? Yes. My adversary has 100 heads of cattle. I have 50. God, kill 50 of his own. No. We don't have time for all of that. Our own is that, God, give me wisdom. The righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. That's our own prayer. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Please, I hope you learn something today. I hope you learn something today. Don't forget, the word, the prayer, God gave it to you to tap into grace to obey him, even though there's a temptation to be discouraged. Life can be discouraging. They can want to push you into sin. They can want to push you into complacency. You just don't care anymore. You two just want a job, get a regular salary, and you are fine. Well, you know inside you, God says, no, that's not good enough. You are going to build enterprises. I've tried two or three times before. Then I say, try again. They now give you money. Say, if I lose this one, they will now know, say, truly, I'm a good for nothing. Before you invest it, you go home, kneel over it, kneel over the money, kneel over the ideas, and pray. The most important thing you are praying about is to wipe out the doubt and wipe out the fear. Listen, I know that faith comes by hearing, but understanding comes by prayer. Hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
If God doesn't open your eyes, you can hear and hear and hear and hear, and nothing will enter. So even before the word comes, you pray, God, in the word that is coming, give me understanding, and I shall live. I hope you've gotten my point.
Yes, sir.
Just say, Father, thank you.
for that word, which is your word, which is liberating me. Thank you, Lord, for that word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. Let's rise to our feet, please. Please just declare, say, in the name of Jesus, goodness is my portion. Mercy is my portion. Righteousness is my portion. Say, I live. And when I say live, I mean I'm the power of God is manifested in my life. All right? So say, I live. I'm not under the power of death. Therefore, I speak against sickness. You are gone. Out of my body. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I speak against fear. I don't have the spirit of fear. I speak concerning boldness. That the spirit of boldness is my portion. I speak concerning victory. That victory is my portion. Victory is my portion. Say it, in Christ Jesus, I'm above only. And I'm not beneath. In Christ Jesus, I'm above only. And I'm not beneath. Say, all things have passed away. Curses have passed away. Curses have passed away. Sin has passed away. Righteousness is my portion now. Blessing, that's my portion now. Say, in Christ Jesus, I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Therefore, prosperity is my portion. Say, long life is my portion. Say, long life is my portion. Say, I will live. I will not die. I will live. I will not die. I will live. I will not die. Say, no weapon that is fashioned against me will prosper. Any arrow shot in my direction will break. Any gun aimed at me will never fire. In the name of Jesus Christ. Because my life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ in God. My life is hid with Christ in God. Say, I'm above alone. I am not beneath. I am above alone. I am not beneath. I am surrounded by the edge of God. I am surrounded by the edge of God. No evil shall befall me, and no plague will come near my dwelling place. I feel like saying, in Christ Jesus, I am free. I am free from sin. I am free from all works of the devil. I am free from sicknesses. I am free from bondage. I am free from fear. My tomorrow is secure. My tomorrow is secure. God has secured my tomorrow. I am not afraid of tomorrow. I am not afraid of tomorrow. No matter how bleak it may be for some people, yet mine shall be bright. Yet mine shall be bright. Because my life is hid with Christ in God. Just wave your hands and just give him thanks. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Goodness will follow you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mercy will not depart from you in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you go out, you will be safe. Amen. As you return, you will be safe. Amen. This land will prosper because of you. Amen. Because you are the salt of the earth. Amen. Go forth and shine in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.